Everybody, and welcome to Rise Up, episode number 320, on this start of Holy Week, March 25th, year of our Lord and Savior, which this week he demonstrates and demonstrated so many years ago. Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, that's right, Emmanuel, the only begotten Son of our Creator God. This is the start of Holy Week, and I'm so happy that we can do this together, because I was not able to go to church yesterday because of 2 feet of snow. Eli, they said 5 to 8 inches. We got 25 to 28 inches. I think the weather guy just forgot to put the two. But that's a big difference in our lives, whether it's 5 inches in the end of March or 25 inches in the end of March. What's clear is that the weatherman doesn't know how to do his job. Imagine if we were that wrong, Eli, on spreading the word of God or telling the truth of the news. Imagine if we were wrong that badly. I don't think we'd have a job today.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Eli said 10 illegals came over. I'm sorry. It was a million. That's a difference. So I was shoveling for a total of 7 hours the last 2 days. But knowing that this was going to be the start of Holy Week, and knowing that yesterday was Palm Sunday, I was able to listen to and read portions of both Lamentations and Isaiah. Now you would think, oh, Jeremy, it's Holy Week. Why aren't you reading the Gospels? Well, in a way, I am, because I'm reading the prediction and the prophecy of what we knew in the Gospels. Yes, we got 25 inches when the meteorologist said 5 inches. Quite a difference there, guys. Great job. So we were shoveling out all weekend long, and we didn't make it to church yesterday because we were snowed in when I woke up under 25 inches of global warming, Eli. It wasn't warming in my part of the globe this weekend, or else it would be spring, you know, like it is. So I said to myself, all right, Water Cop says, weatherman is the only job you can be wrong at all the time and still have a job. I know, right? Oh, well, it was the weather. Well, I guess that means that somebody must be in control outside of the predictions and prophecies of our illustrious and very talented weather men and women. Eli, you see in Mexico, their weather people are like the hottest girls you could ever find on earth, right? They don't even have to have an education. Oh, look at you. Found you in a strip club. You want to be on TV? Talk about the weather. Yes, it'll melt pretty fast. Exactly. So I never really... Jeremy, what part of the Bible is read during Holy Week? Well, a lot of people read Luke during Christmas and other parts of the Gospels leading up to Holy Week. But I guess as long as you're in the Bible, then you're in the Bible. It doesn't matter if you're in New Testament or Old Testament. So I want to just tell you, today's show is titled Out of Sight, Out of Mind. You know, like the snow is supposed to be in spring, Eli. Out of sight, out of mind. And it really doesn't have much to do with the verses that I listened to on audio and read this weekend. But I do want to bring up a part about Lamentations. I guess I just never really understood. Talk about the ultimate disciplinary book of the Bible. Talk about Israel being in one of many in the Bible weakened states because of their own iniquities. Talk about consequences for your own actions. Talk about the way God looks at his chosen people who decide they don't really want God in their lives as much as they proclaim to. Lamentations is an eye-opener book of the Bible once you are at this point in your journey with Jesus. And I guess I never really realized it that much. And then if you take Lamentations and then you go to the first chapter of Isaiah and start reading through chapter 1 of Isaiah, you're talking about a fed-up father. A fed-up father. A father that says, everything that you're doing good to me, I don't even look at. Everything that you proclaim, I'm not listening to. I turn my back on you. I don't want to smell that incense from your burnt offerings. It smells disgusting to me. I don't want to hear your prayers because I'm not even going to listen to them. I won't bend my ear to any of your prayers. Talk about the ultimate disciplinary action from a parent. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, read the first part of Isaiah and you'll be like, whoa, just whoa. But anyway, today's verse is actually going to come from Matthew chapter 6. Rachel Hawk says, I need Lamentations. I'm not disciplined. Go read it. And once you read Lamentations, then go read the first chapter of Isaiah. That'll wake you up real good. Katia 76 says her and Redneck started the Bible. And they started they found a YouTube channel or their YouTube video, and they started the Bible, and they're going to go through it for the next year. That's incredible. That's incredible. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 19, John 18, Holy Week Gospels. Thank you, Eileen. We appreciate that. Yes, T. Mitchell, the YouVersion Bible app does have a lot of stuff to it. Lamentations was authored by the prophet Jeremiah. Both are in the Old Testament. Exactly. Exactly, JV. Just finished Matthew. Well, good. We're going to go back into Matthew today. Let me read for you today, Out of Sight, Out of Mind. So, Out of Sight, Out of Mind. Rise Up, episode number 320. Very popular saying. I'm sure everybody knows it, right? However, when it translates to your prayer life, that's a big problem. It takes focus from where it should be, not on your problems and the discomfort you're experiencing, but on the one who gets you through them. Let's talk about it today. Let's go to prayer, and then we'll get into Matthew, and we'll talk about the verse of the day today. Out of sight, out of mind. Isaiah's times are just like our times. You are very, very right. Talking about illegals and foreigners taking over the land and burning the cities, Eli. That's what Isaiah is all about, folks. You'll really, really, really enjoy it. You'll enjoy the comparisons, I should say. All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, with a thankful heart, an appreciative soul, and a smile on our face, Lord, we come to you today in prayer. On the second day of Holy Week, the day after all of Jerusalem laid down palm leaves for Jesus as he came into the city on a donkey carrying a king, we know what the end of this week brings. We also know that there's much to learn in this week. Holy Week is so important to Christians, so much more important than Christmas, because it's leading up to the act of something that somebody did for us to pay our fines. And that fine was death. The wages of sin is death. It's not merely a court fine. It's not merely a document that we have to produce and pay a fine. It is our life. So during this Holy Week, we study Jesus. We study what Jesus died for. And we thank him for what he did for us. Lord, today we're going to be talking about leaving your problems out of sight so that they're out of mind. It's something that Jesus did the opposite of. We pray that you bring discernment into our lives and joy into our hearts as we start this Holy Week together in fellowship here on Rise Up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you might think to yourself, Jeremy, it's Holy Week. Why aren't you focusing on one of the Gospels that happened during Holy Week? And my answer is, don't worry, we have 5 days. And for Jesus, those 5 days must have been an eternity. However, if we don't have prayer, and we're not praying correctly, now I know that there's a lot of people that say, you can't not pray correctly. There's no incorrect way to pray. Well, you might be right. But what happens when out of sight, out of mind keeps that which God wants you to bring up during prayer out of your mouth, out of your mind. That's a problem. And I would imagine that during Holy Week, Jesus knew he was going, how it was going to end. Nobody knew more than Jesus how this was going to end. You don't think Jesus was in plenty of prayer during this Holy Week? You don't think that prayer was the cornerstone not only of his life, but really of this week? Jesus was praying to God so fervently prior to his crucifixion that he was sweating droplets of blood and he was under intense agony. Jesus could have ignored it. Jesus could have ignored everything. Jesus could have just said, out of sight, out of mind, I'm not going to think about death. I'm just going to get through this week and I'm going to hide my problems. No. It's not what he said. He said the exact opposite. I heard this gentleman on this video say, that he asked God why was he lacking in prayer. You know those moments when you feel like you're lacking prayer? You feel like there's things that you want to sit down and talk to God about, but you just don't do it? Why am I lacking in prayer? I'll have a video for you to show you. Actually, I got this video. And I want to talk about it today. So let's bring that up. I have a few videos to show you, actually. But this one is very important, and this is the one that I archived that really brought me to this today.
I can remember.
Hold on. Let's put this on the screen here, and I want you to listen closely. He says, I can remember a time when I slacked off in my prayer life. Put this on the screen.
Time when I slacked off in my prayer life, and I said to the Lord, why have I slacked off in my prayer life? You know what he said? Because these problems that you're in your life right now, you don't want to think about them.
Ooh.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Ooh.
So you don't even want to pray about them, because then you have to think about it. But then he said to me, son, I did not design prayer to put a burden on you. I designed prayer to take a burden off of you.
Oh.
I can remember a time when I slacked off.
Oh, my Lanta, ladies and gentlemen. How many times has that been you? How many times has that been me? How many times have we slacked off in our prayer life and we've said to God, God, what is going on? Why do I feel this way? And God says, because you're not bringing your problems to me, my son. You're not bringing your problems to me, my daughter. You're putting your problems so out of sight so that they stay out of your mind that you're not even allowing them to enter your mind, your thoughts, and your heart when you pray to me. My son, my daughter, why are you hiding these things from me? You know nothing can be hidden from me. You know that I am here to bring peace to your heart, peace to your soul, but yet you're not allowing me to do that, but you're praying to me. And I suggest if that's you, go back and read the beginning chapters of Isaiah. You're putting things so far out of your mind that when you sit down and talk to the only person that can bring you through those problems and through those troubles, and you're ignoring all of it, and you're talking to him about other things, when God is sitting there waiting for you to bring up that in which you're trying to forget. I can imagine it goes something like this. And I like what Overheard just said in the live chat. Sweeping things under the rug will trip you up. Wow. What a great saying that is. I'd like to paint a picture here for you. You know when your parents, when you were a kid, or maybe you're a parent of small children now, parents never ask questions that they already don't know the answer to. I'd say about 80% of the time. And the 20% of the time, we know something is up. We're just trying to work our way cleverly around the topic to get to the answer, but we know the answer. Right? So, parents do not ask questions to children in which they already don't know the answer. They're giving their children a chance, an opportunity to have a moment here where they come clean and they tell the truth. Whether you know 100% the truth or whether you don't, you are giving them an opportunity. Here's the thing. God knows 100% of the truth all the time. So there is nothing that God does not already know. So God is sitting there as your father, and you bring him your problems or you bring him your prayers, and you say, God, I just want to thank you for this, and I just want to pray that you help me do this, and I want to pray for this person. I want to pray for that person. Meanwhile, you're committing adultery or you're fornicating. Or let's take it a different route. Meanwhile, every minute of every day, unless you are at church or doing exactly what you want to be doing, you're short with people, you're cross with people, your patience is very thin with people. You treat people like crap all day, every day. Short answers. You talk down to people instead of lifting people up. You treat people like dirt rather than putting people on a pedestal. And you're still going to God for prayer. And God says to you, my son, my daughter, why don't you come to me with what's really bothering you? Why are you sweeping that under the rug, per se? Why are you putting that out of your sight so you don't have to address it? How about this? How about something that you know somebody is doing wrong, but you do not address that? You know somebody is risking themselves or risking their lives or risking their job, and it's going to affect you, or it's in your world, but you, it's none of your business, you say. It's none of my business to bring that up. Actually, it's all of your business. If you see wrongdoing, if you see something, if you know about something that's going on and you turn a blind eye because you don't want to deal with it because it's not really your problem, you didn't cause it, it's not going to affect your day one way or another if you just leave that alone. No. That's not the answer. You are to keep your focus not on your problems, not on your trials, not on the people that are doing bad things around you. You are to keep your focus. I am to keep my focus on God and his promises. You know how hard that is as a human being? Look at David. David was a man after God's own heart. And David tried to put out of sight so he could be out of mind the husband of the woman that David wanted so badly. So David literally put a man out of sight, out of mind to die so that David could fulfill his lustful desires. That's David. So yeah, I understand it is very hard to keep your focus on God's promises, God's path, and God's will. It's very simple to just say, "Nah, I'm doing so much for God anyway. Nah, let's just push that to the side real quick." Doesn't work that way. See, David should have taken his problem to the Lord of his lustful desires for that woman before giving in to them. He should have brought that to the Lord. So then he would not have had to put this man who was in David's army out of sight so he could be out of mind. You see, if you're putting your full focus on God, you don't allow trials, tribulations, problems, and secret desires to go by the wayside. You don't allow them to take over your life. And if you do, you recognize it immediately and give it back to God and repent and say, I am so sorry that I put that out of sight, out of mind. I didn't bring that to you. See, God already knows anyway, so why? And you want to know something? You're right. T. Mitchell said, and God still forgave him. Ashley Garland says, my husband and I always say, let fantasy remain a fantasy. Eileen says, David's a great example. That's exactly right. David literally tried to put something completely out of sight so far that nobody would ever think about it. Did he forget about Almighty God who blessed him and anointed him? Did he forget about Almighty God who put him up in a position of power to put him up on a pedestal because he's a man after God's own heart? Did he think that God wasn't going to have something to say about that? What are you hiding today? What are you putting out of sight, out of mind? What are you sweeping under the rug as it's not a big deal, but yet it's living with you daily like a poke in the side? That's what we need to think about today. You see, I have been guilty of this lately. My wife and I have been dealing with a lot, like anybody. You guys know what a guilty conscience is, right? Conscience is two words put together. It's a Greek word. Con mean with, science means knowledge. Conscience. You are with knowledge. So I have been trying a few things in my life, a few different situations that are going on right now, I tried to ignore. What was I thinking? How could I ignore? How could I try to sweep under the rug? Not only things that are happening, right? But things that I need to address in a godly, respectful, mature way. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things that I've wanted to address with a few people or tell a few people, but I've always waited until I'm angry, right? Because it's easier. It's easier when you're angry to say, okay, you know what? All that stuff that I've been putting off for the last month, I'm going to do it today. Right, Eli? You know that feeling. I've been putting this stuff off for the last month because I've not wanted to bring this up, because I've not wanted to rock any boats. I've not wanted to cause any chaos. But then you wait until you're angry. And that gives you it's almost like alcohol, like liquid courage. It gives you this courage to say, now I'm going to address this and I'm going to confront that person and I'm going to tell that person this is the way it is. And if you don't like it, so be it. That's wrong too. And I do that all the time too. No. See, God wants you to think of the things that are pestering you in your life. Things that you've put into the side. Things that you've put out of sight, out of mind, or swept under the rug. God wants you to go get all those things today, right now. He wants you to pick it all up right now. He wants you to bring it to him and say, here you go, God. I am going to address these things today. I'm not going to let them fester like cancer. I'm not going to let them continue to build up in my closet or under my rug, under my carpet any longer. Here you go, God. I need to bring them to you, but I need to do it in a respectful way. So if that bringing to God, that something that you're bringing to God, has other people involved in it that either need to hear for the first time the way you actually feel, or that need to be told something that they're not being told because you don't want to say something that might rock the boat. Well, remember, that boat was rocking on that sea, wasn't it? When Jesus was walking on that water, that boat was rocking, wasn't it? I imagine those guys wished they, I imagine the disciples wished they were out of sight at that moment so they could be out of mind, but they weren't. They were in it. You got to confront it, folks. You've got to confront it. I'll tell you like this. Here's a good example. The verse of the day is Matthew 6. We're going to get into the verse of the day. It's Matthew 6. Here's a good example, folks. The mother of my first two children, her and I have always co-parented without court. Always. Always, always, always. For over a decade, just to keep our kids out of court, I ignored everything. I swept things under the rug. I let things go by the wayside. And my friends, Eli, my other friends, my family would say, "Why are you allowing this woman to do this stuff to you?" And I would say, "Because I don't want to rock the boat for the kids. I don't want to cause chaos for the kids. I can take it, okay? There's nothing that she can throw at me or nothing that she can do to me that I can't take, but the kids can't." Well, I'm going to tell you what, that was a mistake. It was a mistake to let somebody walk all over you for the benefit of somebody else. Now, I know that's what Jesus did, but when you do that as a person in the flesh forever, it's going to stick with you for a very long time. So, there's some things that have been going on in our lives in the last couple months, and some decisions that have been made as to how things are going to work from here on out, this, that, and the other. But these decisions that I have made and that my wife and I have made together, I have to now take them to my ex. And I always put it off. And the reason why I put it off isn't because I'm afraid of it. It's because I don't want to cause chaos. I don't want to cause problems. I don't want somebody to flip out or freak out. I don't want other people to get in trouble. I don't want people to fight because of a decision that I made, so I put it off. Instead, the longer I wait to tell her or anybody certain things, the harder it's going to get, right? So you've got to stop ignoring necessity. Because what happens is when you do it in real life, it translates into your prayer life. And when it translates into your prayer life, then your prayers are worthless because God already knows the answer to all of your questionable things that are in your soul and in your heart. God is sitting there right now and you're trying to sweep things under the rug and he's going, how was your day? Well, it was good, God. It was good. Thank you for asking. Is there anything you want to tell me? No, I'm good. Just want to say thank you for my life and thank you for, you know, Jesus and thank you for Holy Week. And, you know, I pray that you can make me a better person and that you can give me more patience. And I pray for the church and I pray for the people in our church and the people that I pray for my mom and the cancer that she has right now. And you know, I really just want to be a better Christian. God's going, well, that's all great. That's great. That's wonderful. Thank you for telling me that. T. Mitchell, you're wrong. Read the first part of Isaiah. There's very many prayers that are worthless. Read the first part of Isaiah. God is actually telling the Israelites how worthless their prayers are to him. So God says, okay, all right. That's great. That's all wonderful, and I'm glad that you're telling me that, but you're not talking about what you really want to talk about. And you say, what are we talking about? I'm good. I'm golden. Look at me. I'm fine. God says, no, you're not. No. There's something that if it's brought up, it'll bother you for weeks on end. And you go, nope, I'm good. What is that doing? What is that doing? You cannot let things just go You've got to address them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Comfort Monday. Then if prayer is worthless, God would not convict you meaningless, not worthless. Okay. I'll take your word for it. How about that? I want to show a video for you that I saved this morning. This actually broke my heart.
No, I thought he died.
You guys believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
You guys believe in Jesus Christ?
No, son.
You believe in Jesus Christ?
Nope, he and I cut it a long time ago.
You believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Nope.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
You guys believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Nope.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
Have a good night.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ by any chance? Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
We're good today, thanks.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
Thanks,
no. Do you guys believe in Jesus?
Not right now, but thank you.
Yeah. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Are you recording right now?
Yeah.
I'll be happy to tell you if you stop recording.
Okay. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No, I thought he died.
What a smart aleck answer. No, I thought he died. All right. You see, nothing in the world that those people were doing was more important than what that man was asking. But everybody's going to work, going shopping, conducting an interview, maybe hanging out with some friends, going to the mall. Nothing is more important than what that man was asking them. So sad. Yes, this is America. Yep. Now, I don't know if anybody stopped and said, yes, I do, because he didn't show that. But just the amount of people that didn't even want to even, that didn't even, I understand saying this. Yeah, I do, but we're on our way to somewhere right now. But yes, I believe in Christ. Or, no, I don't, and I appreciate you asking. Now, if somebody was on the street saying to me, do you believe that Muhammad was a prophet? I would stop for a minute and I would say, because it's such an important thing, and I would say, no, I don't believe he was a prophet, and here's why. Because when you're talking about that kind of stuff, there's nothing more important in the world than that right there. So many people just going the wrong way. Proverbs 24:16. Oh, no, let's get to the verse of the day. Let's read the verse of the day today first. That's what we need to do. Everybody open up your Bibles to Matthew 6:31-33. If you can do that for me. Matthew 6:31-33. I'll put it on the screen for you as well. Okay. Perfect. Put it up on the screen. Matthew 6:31-33 informs us what our priority, our primary focus regarding work should be. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things, or that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. Undoubtedly, earning a living is important to life. However, we can easily drift into overemphasizing the day-to-day wage-earning job above Christian responsibilities. At the same time, the kingdom of God can easily suffer from the out-of-sight, out-of-mind syndrome. Now, this is specifically speaking on work, right? But something there caught my eye, outside of the out-of-sight, out-of-mind, which was Matthew 6, 31 through 33 informs us of that our primary focus should be where? On God and his righteousness. So if our primary focus should be on God and his righteousness, then nothing will stay out of sight, out of mind. Because if our primary focus is on God and his righteousness, even if we slip up 3, 4, 7, 12, 11 times a day, it doesn't matter. Slipping up is human. Slipping up is flesh. Ask David. Slipping up is slipping up. Ask any of the 12 disciples. They all slipped up many, many times. But God knows your heart. And if your heart wants to keep things from God in his righteousness that you're seeking, then really, what are we doing? God is not in the flesh human to where you can go to him and trick him or deceive him or lie to him or not bring something that is in your heart to him. Because if you're focused on his righteousness, you cannot keep those things out of sight, out of mind. And the longer you do, the longer they're going to affect you. And the more divisive it's going to be between you and that person in that relationship. My question for you today is, what are you putting on the back burner that needs to be addressed today? What are you ignoring that you should have brought up to a certain someone a long time ago? What is somebody around you doing that you know is horrible, but you do not hold them accountable because you don't want to cause a problem? Who in your family do you need to have a conversation with today that you've been putting out of sight so it stays out of mind and ultimately out of prayer? Because prayer is what you need. Prayer is what you need to do with that certain someone involving that certain thing that just won't go away. I'd also like to thank or say happy birthday to Cindy today. It is Cindy's birthday. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cindy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Cindy. I hope you have a great day. Trishy says, I'm putting it off because I would be too upset to address it when it happened. I know. I got to tell you, a lot of the things that I put off aren't because I don't want to address them. They aren't. You want to know what's even worse than that? A lot of things I put off, I don't do because I'm afraid of what I will do. I'm afraid of what I will say. Now, L.M. Burkowski, this is a rough one. Struggling with how to tell my stepson my feelings about him being gay. I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told, that God told me this morning about the things that I've been putting off. Don't do it from a place of judgment. Don't do it from a place of anger. Do it from a place of respect, honor, and maturity. And tell them why you feel that way. Don't just say, I feel that way. Tell them why. Because in my life, there are many, 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 many sins that I try to stay away from and that I try to teach my children to stay away from. That's one of them. Don't make their sin be worse than everybody else's sin in the world. And don't come from a place of judgment or anger. They're not going to listen to you. They're just not. People are much more apt to listen and have a conversation with you if you're genuine, respectful, and nice. And that's something that I truly need to do and take my own advice. Because I wait for till I'm angry and say, now I'm going to address that. And nobody's going to tell me different because I'm Jeremy. No, it's not the way it works. I can promise you, you will ultimately regret that decision. And yes, you do address their homosexuality because you don't want them to die in their sins. But you also don't tell them that you're not going to be a part of their life if they do it. You're always going to be there for them. You just wanted them to know why you don't approve. That's all. Because a lot of people will just think that you don't like them because of their lifestyle. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Comfort Monday. You know what that means. Ray Comfort. Roll it.
This one, this guy is huge. I don't know if I can reach him. Look at his muscles. You're going to do it?
You might be one of the most annoying people I've ever talked to in my life. You are very annoying. You mean me. I couldn't care less about you.
Do you think I was going to get hit?
He was going to crush you.
We were ready, though.
Thought we were finally going to get the video that we needed.
I'll give you 30 more seconds, David.
Life after death?
Ooh, that's a good question, isn't it? Certainly isn't life after death. The question is there consciousness after death? I think is the real question.
Wouldn't that be life?
No, I think life is like this material, physical life that we have, right? I think consciousness is a separate thing from life.
You think you've got a soul?
I honestly don't think so.
Let me see if I can change your mind on that.
Are you guys some like religious organization?
I'm a Christian. Is that okay?
Yeah, give it a shot.
The Bible uses the word soul and life synonymously.
Okay.
You have a life within you, the Bible calls a soul. So that's all it is. It's nothing special.
Okay.
It's just your life. So now you believe in the soul.
No. Problem is, if you're using the Bible as a credible source, you first have to establish it as a credible source.
No,
so I don't want to get specifically into the Bible, but if you want to talk about like general idea of the universe and the afterlife, I'm fine to talk about that.
Away from the
Bible. Sure as hell are not going to convince me on a boardwalk that there's, you know, that the Bible is a credible source. I'm sure there's things in there, obviously, that are, you know, relatively credible.
You used a quokalism just before. Could you explain to me what you mean by it?
By what?
The quokalism you used. You said as sure as hell. What does that mean?
So what, just because hell is a reference to a specific religion, I can't use that?
What did you mean by saying as sure as hell?
It's an expression.
Yeah, it's a quokalism. And it means something is absolutely sure if you say as sure as hell. Isn't that right? It's a funny quote.
This guy might be one of the most annoying people I've ever talked to in my life. You are very annoying. I'll give you 30 more seconds. Say whatever you want to say.
Okay, okay. Will you be patient with me?
30 more seconds.
Okay, you have to face the holy God on Judgment Day. He said if you look at a woman...
Well, that's if that exists.
He said you give me 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Would you give me 30 seconds this time?
Sure.
Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Fornicators won't inherit God's kingdom. If you've lied and stolen, you're in big trouble on Judgment Day, and God doesn't want you to go to hell. But the Bible says, as sure as hell, there is a hell. He made provision for you to be forgiven. You can have everlasting life as a free gift if you repent and put your faith in Jesus, who died on the cross, taking the punishment for the sin of the world, rose again on the third day so you could have everlasting life. That's what God offers you, not a religion, but everlasting life as a free gift.
That's great. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. Happy that that's something you have in your life. If that makes your life easier, if it gives you answers to your questions, gives you hope, I'm all for it, man. I personally don't share the same beliefs. For the most part, I would say there's no harm in it. I do think that there's plenty of examples where organized religion caused a lot of pain and suffering to people. It's contributed to wars. It's contributed to hate.
Can I give you the statistics on that? May I give that? Statistics.
No, I don't want to hear your dumb statistics.
The Encyclopedia of Wars says that of all the wars in history, over 1900, 9% have been religious wars, and most of those were Islamic. The rest were wars like the First World War, Second World War, Vietnam War.
Oh, you don't think that religion played a part in the first two world wars? Look, dude, believe what you want to believe, okay? You guys wanted to ask me about the afterlife. I'm unsure. Nobody knows for certain.
Did you hear what you said? Nobody knows, which means you know what 8 billion people on this earth know and don't know. All you can say is, I don't know.
Nobody has fully died and come back.
How do you know that?
That's right, so you think yours is right and everyone else is wrong.
Let me answer that question, because that's great. The big difference between the great religions of Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity is that they're all works righteousness religions. They say you have to do something to merit everlasting life. Fast, pray, face Mecca, do good works, repent. But the Bible says there's nothing you can do because God's a judge, and anything you offer him is an attempt to bribe him. So God's not going to be bribed by religion, by good works, religious works. Eternal life comes as a free gift of God, and that came by God taking the initiative and sending a savior to humanity. So that's good news for atheists, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims. Anyone can have everlasting life if they'll simply repent of their sins and trust in the God-given savior.
Hold on. If you happen to have an upbringing, or live in a community, or have a pair of parents that teach you something different, then you just you're out of luck. Let's take somebody who lives a really good life, good husband, good father, never goes to church, does not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but great person, right, by all accounts, right? Generous, kind, good to the people in his life, but he doesn't believe in a God and he doesn't accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. This particular individual, in your opinion, will spend eternity in hell just because he chose the wrong God or didn't choose Jesus Christ?
Is that a question?
That's my question.
Will you let me answer it?
Go ahead.
He is fine if he's never lusted after a woman, hated someone, committed murder in his heart, lied or stolen or blasphemed or lived in rebellion. If he's not been grateful and thankful, then he's under God's just anger and death will be his just desert.
Let me finish. I'm gonna go away, listen, you are interviewing me. I couldn't care less about you.
But if you ask me a question, I want to answer it.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with one last thing. I was kind enough to give you guys a couple minutes of my time.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I can't say for certain one way or the other, but if there is a God, if there is an afterlife, I hope it's a God that rewards people for living a good life and doesn't have to choose the right specific God to end up in heaven. I hope that it's just you live a good life. If there is a heaven, you end up there. The type of God that I would like there to be would be one that would just reward people for living a good life and they don't have to necessarily worship some specific divine entity.
It's called idolatry when you make up a God to suit yourself, and I did it before I was a Christian.
That's what, in my opinion, that's what most religions are, is somewhere along the line people made up a God to help themselves get through situations.
I agree with you.
To help the masses. And you have a view of yours, and that's fine, but to act like yours is superior and that you have a better understanding of the afterlife than the other 8 billion people.
When did I say that?
You are saying with certainty that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and he died for us. You're saying with certainty.
When did I say I was better than all those people?
No. You're saying that your religion is the right one and by definition would be a better one than the other religions. I respect everybody's views. I have a lot of friends of different religions, different religious backgrounds, and I certainly respect all of them. As long as people aren't pushing their views on me like you kind of are trying to, I'm fine with it. I find it distasteful. You know, I think it's a personal relationship that people have and they should keep it to themselves for the most part, unless people are outwardly seeking it. As long as people keep it to themselves, unless I come for somebody, you know, for guidance or ask them questions, I just think it's distasteful to shove things, you know, down people's throats.
It's very kind of you to listen to me. I really appreciate it.
Got it, man. I don't share, you know, all your views, but that doesn't mean I don't respect yours. I guess at some point we'll see what happens. But for now, life's great, and, you know, I just enjoy this one material life as much as I can, so.
You gave me 30 seconds, and you stayed for about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, well,
you're very kind. Thanks, man.
I'm a chatterbox for sure. But, yeah, my view is, like, if I don't have a religion, you know, I'm not affiliated with one, but my view is just surround yourself with people you want to be around.
I was talking to his girlfriend during the interview. She was a sweet lady. She said she believed in Jesus. She wasn't going to church. And I said, is he marriage material? And she said, I don't know. I was explaining why he was getting so angry. And what we were doing was really actually showing him love.
I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, from personal experience, that's a future Christian right there. Best kind of people to minister to. That kind of person that Ray Comfort was just ministering to is the best kind of person that you can minister to in the world. Because that was me. Actually, I was even worse than that, if you can believe it. I remember doing live videos where I sat in my car making fun of Jesus and Mary just to do it, just for fun, just to make people upset. That right there is a future Christian. You can bet your bottom dollar on that one. Seeds have been planted. God will water when it's time. Well, folks, as we start Holy Week this week, let's get right back to holy, holy, holy. As you get ready for Mike Crispy and Unafraid, and the rest of the shows here on LFA TV today. Remember that I love you. Remember that I got more problems in my heart than most people I know. And I am not a preacher or a pastor or anything like that. I'm just letting you walk on my journey with Jesus with me. And it's been quite a journey so far. I love you guys. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And I'll see you at 11 and then tomorrow for more Rise Up. Have a great rest of your morning. See you later.